You sit there and you're in church and you're a saint of God, but it's not a reality to you. In other words, it's more being carnally minded. They can be carnally minded, and being carnally minded, see, it just isn't real. What the preacher says, it has a fictitious sound to you. See, the Bible said, take heed how that you hear. And you hear it sounds carnally, fictitious. There's no reality to it. I've come in here at times, and for days, and I'm not lying now, for days I would have been on my knees just about all night, every night in succession, praying for you, trying to do what I could and stay awake and talk to God. I mean, night after night after night. And I come up here and I pick up your thoughts when I go to say something. And it's so unreal. It's so carnal. And what I'm saying doesn't have anything behind it as far as what you're saying. You don't have any idea how carnal and how foolish that is. See, because if a man does stay with God, or if he is sin of God, then what he says is bound to have some authority. Or either the Lord would not have seen him. And to think of him in a carnal manner or in a carnal way, just because you've had a cross with your husband or wife, or the children displeased you, or because you didn't get your way about something, or you didn't get to go home to mothers, or just any one of 100,000 things, we say. You know, the Bible tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, and to never sit in the seat of the scornful. Never sit in the seat of the scornful. And the Bible said, blessed is the man that won't sit in the seat of the scornful, and whose delight is in the laws of the Lord. See, in the laws of the Lord, he meditates day and night. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But if I pick up a spirit, and that spirit is scornful, it's scornful. You say, what do you mean scornful? It scorns me. In other words, it doesn't entreat, it doesn't receive, it doesn't judge me as a minister of God. It doesn't receive my words with great fear and reverence as a minister that speaks to you on the behalf of your soul, as one that the trust of your soul has been committed to, and that we have to take the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Spirit hath made us overseers. See, but your thoughts are scornful. See, critical, fault-finding, unreasonable, judging, reasoning. Anyway, a lot of things are scornful. So don't do that. Don't have a spirit of unconcern. Folks, listen. When you come into the church, never at any time come into the doors of God without a concern. Never. Never sit on a church bench when you don't have a concern. Never do that. When you come, you'll be burning with the concern of God, because your soul is at stake. That few minutes that God gives you, whatever, may be that in that moment that the words are said to inspire your faith to save you from the death that you're going to die tomorrow because of some horrible accident or something taking place. All right, so I love you and I appreciate you. Never reason. Never think yourself to be smart. Never think yourself to be intelligent. Never think that you got the answer, because you haven't. Jesus has the answer. And he alone has the answer. Never think yourself to be righteous, because he is righteous. And he is our righteousness, the Bible tells us. So don't ever judge yourself to be intelligent. Because if you are intelligent in your own eyes, then you are a fool in the eyes of God. See, for the Bible teaches that God hath judged the wisdom of this world to be foolishness. And those that consider themselves wise, he said, they are fools in his sight. So don't do that. So you never do that. Think of Jesus and his greatness. Esteem others better than yourself. Esteem others to be wise. And say, I'm still learning. All right. So then if we do that, then we'd be greater than our fellow. In that way, isn't that right? The Bible said that God hath anointed us with the oil of gladness above our fellows, because we love righteousness. And what is righteousness? The things I just told you. The things I just told you. You love Jesus? How many of you believe I want to help you? All right, there's a sister here. She's upset. Something has happened across her, and she's upset in her spirit. And she don't want me to pick it up, but I've already picked it up. And she's a fine woman, but she's upset. See, and she's just a little bit grieved and upset and beside herself. But don't you know that's an evil spirit that you let come into the house of God? You say, well, Brother Pike, I'm grieved. How can I feel any different? You can feel different, if you will. But you can't feel different and pacify your feelings. Now, can you? Can you? When you get upset and those demon spirits come on you and they just clawing away at you, know, just to pity yourself or be melancholy or to find fault or say something against somebody, can you pity or pet those things and still be right with God? Can you? Or you can't do it. Now, can you? You can't do it. So don't try. So you can be free from it. You say, how? Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Just get rid of him. Don't listen to it. Like my Cindy the other day, she was talking. She said, well, so the devil keeps telling me we're not going to the Dothan meeting. Said, he just keeps on telling me. Said, well, said, it looks like that we won't get to go. And I looked at her, I said, Cindy, do you believe that? And it kind of shocked her, I think. She sat there for a few minutes. She said, no, I don't believe that. I said, well, why do you keep listening to it? I mean, if you don't believe in the devil, why talk to him? I don't know nobody talking to me if I ain't got no confidence in him. I'd rather get away from him. And you know to start with that it's a lie. I mean, if you know it's the devil, you know it's a lie. So there ain't no need to spend your time, precious time, that you can spend with the Lord. Isn't that right? Why listen to something when you don't believe it? The devil tell you that you're a bad person when you know you're born of the Holy Spirit? Why listen to him? If it tells you you're going to help poverty when the Bible said all things work together for good of them that love the Lord, and I would above all things that you prosper. Why listen to that fellow? You understand what I'm saying? Amen. And he said, well, you're all washed up. You're backslid. I said, well, you're a liar. How can I be backslid? I said, the Bible says he's born of God, can't even sin. How are you going to backslide on God? You understand what I'm saying? See, in other words, well, maybe we'll talk about a little bit about faith tonight. Let's just read a little bit. And, you know, I think David had probably more trouble, or perhaps more trouble, than most anybody. He had, we think about Job having problems, but David, he really had problems. And he's always praying and talking to God, and a lot of times he'd bring up his problems. He'd bring his strong reasoning to God. But he always would find himself justifying God and condemning David. Let's turn to page 51 in the book of Psalms and let's read a little. And since we took a little time praising the Lord and so forth, maybe I'll talk with you a little, exhort you a little, and strengthen you in your faith, and then I'll let you go. Chapter 51 of the book of Psalms, if you've got your Bibles, we'll start the first verse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullock upon thine altar. You know, David here, he says some wonderful things. In all of his prayers and his meditation, it seems that David says things that somehow or another seems to fit human conditions. You take people in this life, they have all kinds of problems. And David, being typical of Jesus, he went through all kinds of problems. And because of that, he prayed prayers and had supplication unto God that seems to fit everybody's problem. It seems to express what we so much would like to say from our heart, you know. And so then David, he said, Lord, he said, renew within me a right spirit. Give me a right spirit. Cleanse my heart, God. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful that if every person, everybody would take the outlook, Jesus, cleanse my heart. Renew within me a right spirit. And make me, O God, to be clean and holy on the inside. You know, the Bible said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's searching out the inward parts. God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. All the time, his eyes are going to and fro in the earth, beholding the good and the evil, and rewarding man according to the deeds that his spirit does while it tabernacles on this earth in that human body. And so then David said, renew within me a right spirit. God said, I'm desirous to show myself strong in the behalf of those that are concerned about me, that are walking upright. I want to show myself strong in their behalf. You know, David learned that if he had a clean heart and if he had a right spirit, then he would have faith. You understand what I'm saying, folks? See, in other words, if I don't have a clean heart, I can't have faith. I don't care how much I try to manufacture faith, I will never have unadulterated faith before God unless I can have a clean heart. I might know mysteries, I might learn great things, I might be a Bible scholar, I might grow in all of these great things. But Paul said, though we know all of these things, yet if we don't have charity, faith won't work. If we don't have faith, it profiteth us nothing. See, faith doesn't work by great mysteries, but the Bible tells us that faith worketh by love. So then to be saved, we have to have faith. It's by grace through faith. And to have faith that's active and alive, then we've got to have love. We've got to have the love of God, the Spirit of God. Renew within me a right spirit, David said, and cleanse my heart, O God. Make me clean. Give me a right spirit that I might understand, that I might be able to have faith, and I might be able to believe, God, that I can take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take me away from my own thinking. Don't let me lean to my own understanding. See, bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And let me cast down the wild imagination. Let me draw nigh to God that God might draw nigh to me. Let me have a real experience with God to where I can really enjoy life in its fullness, you know, and really go out there and have God to show himself strong for me. In other words, when I want something, I can look to Jesus, you know, and call on the name of the Lord and have the Lord to reward me accordingly or come to my defense in the time of my need. See, he's a present help in the time of need. But now, here's one thing that I see lacking in our lives that wasn't lacking in the life of David. I see something lacking in my life, in your life, that wasn't lacking in the life of the apostolic leaders, nor wasn't lacking in the life of Noah and many of the others. See, when God speaks of faith, when He speaks about faith, He expects us to do something. See, we've got to do something. If we're going to have faith in God, we've got to do something. Is that right? You can't just say, well, Brother Pike, I've got faith in God. The writer said, without being active, without something to substantiate your statement, as far as personal activity, he said, your faith is dead. Your faith doesn't profit you. Like the Jews of old, the Bible tells us that they had the word of God, but it did not profit them in that it was not mixed with faith. Now you would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that they didn't have any faith? They had a faith. You know the Jews had faith, or they wouldn't have gone through the ritualistics they did. But Paul was speaking of a living faith. In other words, it didn't profit them because they did not have an active faith in the Word of God. They heard the Word, but they didn't have an active faith in the Word of God. Now then, so then they had the Word. Now, but they didn't profit from the Word because they did not have active faith. Now, that could be said about the people of Little Bethlehem. That could be said about the Baptist church and the Methodist church and many other people throughout the world. They have the Word of God. The Word of God is preached to them. They have the Word of God. Not only do they have the Word of God as being preached to them, but they have it in book form. They have it as the printed page. They have it in little pamphlets. They have the Word of God. But see, the Word of God does not profit them because they do not have any faith in the Word of God. Now you say, well, I've got faith in the Word of God. I come to church. That doesn't prove that you got faith in the Word of God just because you come to church. It takes more than coming to church. Why, going to church is just like going to a ball game or going to some race or something. They have all kinds of parties and programs, and some people don't like as much excitement as others, and so they don't go to a horse race, they go to church. But see, that doesn't prove that we got salvation. That doesn't prove that we've got faith in God. See, when you speak of faith, you're speaking of something that's active and alive. Something that's active and alive. See, when the Bible speaks of faith being dead without works, I believe that what the writer meant was faith that is inactive. Faith that is not active is not living faith. See, show me your faith without your works. And the writer said, I'll show you my faith by my activity. I'll show you something that's active and alive, something that's in action, something that's profiting. The Bible said, let your profiting appear to all, that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so then what we need is something that's active and something that's alive, something that will help us, and not only help us, but help others. Now let's just examine it for a few minutes. For instance, the Bible said, speaking of faith, it said that God so loved that He gave. That was God's act toward us. Now, He so loved that He gave His faith in action toward us. He created the world by His faith because He had love. Is that right? Now, when it speaks of you and I, and it speaks of faith, then what do we do to offer our faith to humanity? What do we do in offering it as love to humanity? You understand me? Now then, like Noah, for instance. Look at Noah. The Bible teaches that Noah believed the Word of God. And what did Noah do? He believed and he built. You follow me? Now I want you to listen for just a few minutes. Noah believed God, and Noah so believed the Word of God that came to him that he built, he worked, he done something. He convinced people that they ought to build an ark. See, that was faith. Now, what if Noah had said, well, I believe God, and went and told all the people that he believed God, but he never done a thing toward what God told him to do? Now, you go out here and you testify to people, and you say, I'm a believer. I belong to the church. I believe God. But you never do anything to perfect holiness unto God. When the Bible definitely states that we are to perfect holiness in the fear of God. It tells us that we are to leave the foundation of repentance, go on unto perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works over and over, but we are to continue to go on perfecting our faith in God,
Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. So then if the Word of God says something, if the minister tells you something, then to have faith in God is to do what the minister tells you to do. Renew within me a right spirit, David said. Help me to put away sin. Help me to get sin out of my life. And let me go on with God. And let me put forth an activity in God. Let me prove that I believe God. I'll look at it for this way for just a minute. Could I believe that God would heal the sick if I didn't pray for the sick? Could I? Could I actually stand here as a man of God with bowels of compassion saying that I believe that God would heal the sick? Could I really believe that if I didn't practice praying for the sick? Could I? Could a man actually stand here and know that people were sick in the audience and know that he could heal them, really believe that he could heal them and not pray for them? Nobody in their right mind would do that, would they? You understand me? See, if I believe that God will heal the sick, I'll pray for the sick. If I believe that God will meet my needs, I'll get up and do something about it. Noah believed the word of God, and Noah began to build a boat. God said, Noah, build an ark to the saving of your household. And Noah got a hammer and a saw, and he began to build. I told you God wanted a campground here, but very few of you responded to the need. I'm telling you that God wants to reach the world for Christ. He's ordained that we reach the world for Christ through the publication of literature, through saw, hammer, whatever we have to do. But you're not responding to it. See, you're not doing what Noah did. You're not responding to the things of God. That proves that you are an unbeliever. It proves that you don't believe. If you sow discord among the brethren, if you cause problems, if you backbite, if you find fault, if you sit in the seat of the scornful, doesn't that prove that you're not in the presence of God? Doesn't that prove that you're sitting in the seat of the scornful and you're not with the membership of the body of God? Doesn't it prove that you're not a part of the evangelistic outreach that God is making in the world today? See, to be a part of something, you've got to be allied with it. You've got to be in union with it. You've got to be supporting it, standing behind it, praying for it, making an effort with it. You understand? See, if I am to be a part of something, then I've got to bid it Godspeed. If I do not bid it Godspeed with my effort and my substance and my prayer, then I am not a partaker of it. I am not a part of it. If I'm always crossed up, contrary, going contrary to the brethren, going contrary to the rules and regulation, going contrary to the word, the stipulations of God, then I am a troublemaker. I am not a Christian. Then I am a problem. I am always causing problems. And the Bible said, mark them that cause division among ye. God said, have no company with them, to separate yourself from unreasonable men. But if I am a part of it, then I'll take my brother's hand. I'll stand together. If there's a ditch to be dug, I'll do it. If there's something to be hammered on, I'll beat on it. If there's something to be passed out in the way of literature, I'll do it. If the sick needs to be prayed for, I'll pray for them. If I need to go out and visit a brother because a brother or sister has not been in church in a few days, I'll go do it. Because I am a part of the operation of God. I won't do anything to hinder. I won't do anything to stop the body of God from getting the full benefits from the commission of the Lord Jesus. Now, Noah believed God. He had faith in God. And what he did, the Lord said, Noah, build an ark. Noah began to saw. Noah began to hammer. Noah began to work. He wasn't too spiritual to go out there and put his hand to the plow. He wasn't too important, being the great Noah, to go out there and help dig a ditch. I'm sure they had to dig some holes to put the posters down to hold the boat in order till they could get it built. He wasn't too important to do that. But he got out there as a preacher of righteousness and partook of it and done just exactly what God told him to do. That's what we need to do. Now, he believed God. He so believed that he built. Faith. Faith that was active in God. It was active. His faith was active. In other words, he was a man of action, not somebody sitting around, just growing old, sitting around dying and criticizing and trying to believe he was some great spiritual man that was going to discern out something, find fault with it, and God was going to bless him in such a corrupt idea. That wasn't what it was. Noah had bowels of compassion. He saw people that was going to be carried away of the flood. He saw people that was going to be lost. Every 120 years, he kept telling them over and over about the judgments of God. And no doubt many times he'd say to them, he'd say, precious people, don't you understand that when God says something, that it comes to pass? But somebody would say, you know, well, I never heard of it. What do you mean, rain? I never heard of nothing like that. See, but it doesn't make any difference. I don't care whether we heard of it or not. If God says it, it has to be right. Is that right? But God said he's going to rapture church out of this world. And if God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And I believe it. Whatever God says, I believe it. I believe it just exactly like God said. Now, I've never seen it done before, but it's going to be done. Because God said it. All right, so then it's my conviction from the bottom of my heart that faith is active and alive. If I believe, I'll do something about it. If I believe that God will heal the sick, I'll pray for the sick. Because I believe that God will heal them. If I believe that God will bless me financially, if I will do such and such, I'll go do whatever God tells me to do. I believe that I am supposed to evangelize the world. I believe that. That's why I go to Europe. That's why I go into the islands. That's why I go to Canada. That's why I go to Mexico. That's why I go throughout the United States. I believe that God will save people and heal people, and that God will bless people, and in the day of judgment, it will be accredited to my efforts in Christ because I went and tried to do something. That's why I do it. I do what I believe in. God said, Noah, it is your job to build a boat. Noah, build a boat. God tells you that you've got a job. Now, I want you to know this. There is not one person under the sound of my voice, but what God has spoke to and given them a job. The Bible said that the good man, before he went away, he appointed unto every man his duty and his task. Isn't that right? He gave every man a talent, and he appointed them their duty and their job. And he said, I'm going on a long journey. But he said, someday I'm coming back. And when I come back from this long journey, I'm going to check with every one of you. And I'm going to see what you did with the talent I gave you. Now, your talent might not be like my talent. My talent might not be like your talent. Yours might be singing. Mine might be preaching. Another one might be the ability to make money out there in the world to support the gospel. I don't know what your talent is. But I know that God has given special people, or given to people, special talents. And each individual has the talent. And whatever that talent is, God will require it of him. But I also know this, that not one talent has God given that will be contrary to the other talent. Is that right? I may give Brother Charlie a penny. I may give Brother Gary a penny, Brother Hollis a penny, and Brother Frank a penny. But not one penny is contrary to the other penny in making up a dollar. Is that right? It takes them to make up the dollar. All of the talents are given for that purpose. And all of the gifts are given for one purpose, and that is to glorify God, that our profiting may appear to all, that they may see Christ within us. Is that right? Paul said it pleased God that Christ should be revealed in his life. Now, how could Christ be revealed in my life? By Christian living, by wholesome living, by adding virtue to my faith, by being clean, being holy, and being upright. How can God show in your life the same way? How can God show in our life is by faith. If I do something by faith, the world will see it. And brothers and sisters, if I live right, I'll do something by faith. Did you know that? If I'll keep my mind off of houses and lands and wives and children and money and all of the things of the world that the Gentiles seek after, if I'll keep my mind off of that and keep my mind on God, I'll have faith. And if I have faith, my profiting will appear to all, that people can see my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. If I live right, walk upright before God, I'm bound to be able to believe. John said, Beloved, if we do this, that is the thing that please God, we will assure our hearts before God to a confidence that whatever we ask of God, He will give it to us. But we know that through the atonement, He hears us. Now, if I will do right, David said, cleanse my heart, give me a right spirit. If I will do right, have a heart like God's, a clean heart. If I will do right, if I will live right to the best of my ability, spend my time thinking on those things that have virtue, whatever has virtue, whatever I can find with virtue, spend my time thinking on things that are virtuous and holy and clean, not listening to worldly music, not watching evil on TV screens, not having magazines and pictures in my home, whether it's from a store of one kind or another that's filled with nudeness, not that kind of thing, but being sacred and being holy and being clean and being just and being upright, because my thoughts is the determining factor of the condition of my life. The Bible said, I will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. Is that right? Whatever you look at, you're going to have a thought. And the Bible said, our eyes are too pure to behold iniquity, that we are to shun the very appearance of evil. If anything on our TV screen, anything on the billboards, anything on the street corners that is not virtuous, we are to take our eyes off of it. Look in another direction. Immediately erase that thought from our mind. Stop that thought from coming up into our mind, because it's evil and it's corrupt. And the Bible said, casting down imagination. A lot of you sit in my service this year and you imagine all kinds of things about me. It's not discernment, it's wild imagination. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God that's coming forth here. Cast it down, get it out of your mind, and bring every thought into the subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. If I am going to be fed the fruits of my thoughts, the Bible said, do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it, whether it be clean or evil, out of it comes forth the evils, or come forth the issues of life. Out of the heart come forth evil thoughts of adultery, fornication. All of these things defile a man. If out of my heart comes forth the issues of life, if out of my heart comes forth the issues of life, then I must have a clean heart. God, renew within me a right spirit. Help me to think on clean, holy things, God. Let my heart be pure. God, purify my heart by faith. David said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. By believing in the Word of God. In other words, if I believe in the Word of God, I can cleanse my heart. I can purify my heart. Purifying my heart by the faith of the Word. See, faith purifies our heart. And it's by that purification that we're saved. If we're not purified, we cannot be saved. But we are purified by believing, and the purification is what brings us into the presence of God. Anything impure cannot be brought into the presence of God. If it's an impurity, it's just like drinking water. If it's not, if it doesn't have a filter, if it's not pure, then it's poison. It'll kill you. But a purity. Give me a purity in my heart, Jesus. Make me clean. Let my thoughts be clean. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't think, as far as I'm concerned, that thoughts have anything to do with your heart. But the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. There must be some thinking going on in the heart. See, as I think in my heart, so am I. So am I. If I think evil, then I am a wretch. If I think holy thoughts, I am a holy man. Whatever I think, that's what I am. And whatever I think constitutes my believing. Because whatever my thoughts are, that's my daily food. The issues of a newspaper come forth, it proclaims the news of the week. If the issues of my life, through my thinking, proclaims my daily life, or whatever I am or what I'm going to be, or if it's the proclamation of my daily activity, then I'm going to do my best to keep my heart. It's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Now, but I'm going to do my best to keep it, because out of it come forth the issues of life. You say, how can the issues of life come out of the heart? Because the heart does the thinking. And God said, He will feed me my thoughts. So then whatever he feeds me, that's what my action will be. That's what my activity will be. Is that right? Meat is for the strong. Eat meat, you do strong things. Is that right? Milk is for a baby. So then, if out of my heart is going to come forth thoughts, I want them to be thoughts of faith. I want them to be a constitution and an instigation of God. I want thoughts coming out of my heart that is strong, not bad and evil, but pure and holy and right. I want thoughts that will not cause me to feel under condemnation. I don't want to be under condemnation all the time. If you sit in the service, you mothers, and play with your baby, keep your mind on your baby all the time to avoid what I'm saying and to get the daddy's attention. Don't you know God will tear your heart up for that? That's foolish. That's evil spirits. That's thoughts always doing something. Always. See, but keep your mind on God. Let your thoughts be holy. Let your thoughts be pure. Don't always be doing something to bring about the wrong thoughts. Don't invite evil spirits into the services. Now, a lot of times when I'm preaching, people will begin to roam and move around and go. They do this in the tent. Why do they do that? Because evil spirits has a hold of them. And when you preach the gospel, they can't sit still. They just got to move. They got to do something. Mothers has got to mess with the babies. Daddies has got to take up time with the mother. They've got to do something all the time because the evil spirits is just eating them up. You follow me? Like one, it was in the tent the other night. I made mention of this. Couple was sitting in the tent the other night. I told the people, I said, now watch, when I get just about middle ways of the sermon and get started, I said, watch. I said, evil spirits come to church. I said, they'll get up and walk out. I said, they do that to discredit the preacher before the eyes of the people, to kill the interest. Wasn't long after I got started before two of them popped up and went out. Went on out. I said, do you see, audience? Bible said, rebuke before all that others might fear, not do it. I said, you see what I said, audience? Evil spirits can't stay in the presence of God. So out they went. After service, I had a visitor. A man came to me and he said, I want to talk with you. I said, all right. He said, you hurt my girlfriend's feelings tonight. I said, I did. He said, yes. I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. He said, well, it was what you said. I said, and what was that? And he told me, I said, I was talking about evil spirits. And he said, but we went out and we was coming back. I said, but you didn't come back, did you? No. I said, well, why didn't you? Well, he said, what you said. I said, no, that isn't it. I said, the evil spirits. I said, if that had been what it was, you would have come back just to prove me wrong. I said, but what it was an evil spirit. I said, the woman that was in there with you wasn't fit to be in there or wasn't dressed fit to be in there to begin with. I said, she should have never come into the presence of God like that to start with. I said, and the devil was on her, and evil spirits was on her all the time, just working on you all the time. And I said, besides that, I said, where is your wife? I began to talk with him. I began to ask him some questions, and it tore him all to pieces. He said, I wish you hadn't asked me them kind of things. I said, why, ain't you living with her? And it tore him up so bad, he said, I tell you, he said, my wife's at home and my baby is too. I'm just over here with that girl. I said, like I said, evil spirits. I said, you need to be with your wife. I said, you're getting in shape for the devil to kill you. I said, the evil spirits. And then he broke down. When he knew that God knew his life, he broke down. And then he told me that he was in a bad condition and that he needed help from God. Now, you understand what I'm saying, children of God? Oh, God, renew within me a right spirit. Give me a clean heart. Let me know the right things, oh God. Let me have faith in the Lord. Let me have faith. Let me be holy. Let me be clean. See, if I live holy, if I talk holy, if I do holy, I'm not going to have condemnation. If I don't have condemnation, then I'm going to have faith in God. And if I have faith in God, people are going to be healed, things are going to happen, and my profiting is going to appear to all. God's going to build up the kingdom, spread the gospel, and a light's going to be throughout the world according to my living and believing in God. Now you say that's your living in God. That's my faith in God. See, your living is only the production of your faith. Is that right? In other words, what you do is only what you believe. Come on now. If you sit at home and do nothing, that's what you believe in. Or you wouldn't sit at home and do nothing. If you stay home and you don't never go on a job and work, then you believe in laziness. You believe in lounging around. If you get up at 3 or 5 o'clock in the morning and you go to your job, you believe in working. Come on. See, if you run your tongue all the time about somebody, all the time, about somebody, then you believe in gossiping. If you're always finding fault with somebody, always finding fault with somebody, always finding fault with somebody, talking to the brethren and sowing discord, that's what you believe in. Is that right? So then, what do you believe in tonight? What do you believe in tonight? Do you believe in the things of God? Do you believe in the righteousness of God? Do you have faith tonight? Do you believe in evangelizing the world? Do you believe in working together as a unit? Do you believe in having peace? The Bible teaches that the children of God are them that make peace. Do you believe in that? See, I want faith. Now tonight, if I had time to go into it, I could really explain some things tonight that would really strengthen your faith. But I'm going to say these few things so as not to confuse you with a lot of things to where you can absorb these things and think on them. See, is your faith, do you have faith tonight? All men don't have faith. Do you have faith? You say, oh yes, Brother Pike, I've got faith. But have you really got faith? I'm talking about living faith. If you have, then you're doing something. If you're not doing something, you don't have faith. Oh, you say, I give a dollar in the offering. I support a missionary and give a few dollars. That don't mean nothing. I'm talking about faith to do something for God. Do you pray? Do you fast? Do you give? Do you get up every day with a vision for God to spend the entire day doing something for Christ? Or do you complain and groan and whine and all the time got complaints and misery? Do you? If you do, that's what you believe in. That's what you believe in. All right. So then, we need to do something. And I bumped my hand there. I cut it when Brother Taylor come up back of me. My hand went back and cut it. So I sealed my testimony with my blood. Now, I believe in doing something for God, folks. And I'm planning, by the help of the Lord, to do more than I've ever done in my life. Planning to do more. You say, well, you can't do it. Why come I can't do it? Is God limited? Does God just have a certain thing for me to do in life and that's all? Certainly not. He said, according to my faith. Whatever I believe, that's what I can do. Now, it don't have anything to do with how I feel or how I look. It's according to my faith. And my faith tells me that I'm going to do something for God. Now, what about your faith? What about your faith? Some of you ain't got enough faith to get up money to even come to the tent. Come on. Let's confess where we're at. Some of you ought to come to the tent once in a while to encourage yourself in God and encourage others, and you ain't got enough faith to believe that you can get enough money to even come down to the tent. Come on. You might as well confess it. Now, I believe that we ought to do something. I believe we ought to get up and do something. Little Bethlehem, a lot of work to do in these in the sanctuary and in these rooms. A lot of work to do in Bill's office. A lot of work to do in Mitch's office. A lot of work to do on the campground. What do you believe in? Somebody said, I believe in little Bethlehem, do you? I believe in that, what you're doing out there, Brother Pike. Do you believe in it? Why is it you haven't done anything? Your faith is measured by your activities and by your action. That's your faith. Now, you can say what you want to, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I believe Eddie teaches school because he believes in what he's doing. And he might not always be happy with it because he has problems and it might not always work convenient. But he believes in it or he wouldn't do it. Now, how strong he believes in it, I don't know. That depends on how much good that he does while he's there. But he believes enough to come over there anyway.
All right, so there's a lot of things that I wanted to say tonight, but I feel like I've helped you about as long as you'll listen. And I better let you go. Now, son, I know some of you'd stay all night. Some of you wish I'd closed a long time ago. But I want these thoughts to sink into your heart. I feel that you've grown up in the Lord here, and that it's time that you did something. If Noah believed and built as proof of it, I believe that if we believe, then we'll give a proof of it. Is that right? Peter walked on the water because he believed. And when he quit believing, he began to sink. You might have had good faith yesterday, but where is your faith today? I'm going to say this in closing. You say, well, Brother Pike, I lost my faith. No, you didn't lose it. You might have covered your talent up, but you didn't lose it. See, if you've got faith, and Peter walked on the water, he had faith. When Peter was sinking beneath the water, he still had faith. You say, well, if he had faith when he was sinking beneath the water, why was he sinking? Because his faith was not an active faith. It was inactive. You understand? See, it wasn't in action. When he walked on the water, it was in action. When he didn't walk on the water, it wasn't in action. But when the Lord rebuked him and reproved him and put him out there, he got it in action again, and his shadow began to heal people, and he began to resurrect the dead. His faith shook the walls of a prison, and the prison doors slung open. That's the kind of faith some of you people have got. But it's inactive. You don't put it to the exchangers. You don't give it a chance. You don't give it a chance. But if you'll give it a chance, you'll find out that it'll be a benefit to you. Cast not away thy faith. Now you can cast it away. Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. It'll reward you. It'll heal you. It'll save you. It'll deliver you. It'll bring you prosperity. It'll bring you joy and peace and happiness. Don't cast it away. Encourage it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage your faith. Work with your faith. Don't think on thoughts that are discouraging and thoughts that condemn and thoughts that tear down faith. Don't think on those thoughts. Those thoughts come to everybody. You're not taken with anything except that which is common to man. Don't think on those thoughts. When those thoughts come, don't think on them. Now, I'd have to go into something to bring that out to show you the difference there tonight. I would have to go into something that would really be a blessing. But we're going to stop right here. But just let me tell you, don't think on those thoughts. Think on virtuous thoughts. The Word of God, delivering thoughts, precious thoughts, strengthening thoughts. Thoughts of ability and achievement and conquest. And everything will be all right. All right, I want you to stand with me. Sometimes I think of people like this. We're like a little thing that took place the other day, a handkerchief. A lot of times I'm preaching, and a person afterwards will say, tell him to let me have that handkerchief that he had tonight while he was preaching. And I'll let him have it. The other night, somebody said, tell him I want that handkerchief. Well, my handkerchief was dirty. I had taken my handkerchief, and I went into the tent. I'd wiped off the seats. Nobody had bothered to clean the seats. They were dirty and just terrible. And so I cleaned it off. I had on my white coat, and I didn't want to mess it up. And I cleaned it off, cleaned my wife's seat off over there. I think she went and sat somewhere else. But anyway, I cleaned them both off. And there, I had a dirty handkerchief. I stuck it back in my pocket, you know. And after I got it back in my pocket after service, somebody said, I want that handkerchief. I told my wife, I said, but it's dirty, Betty. She said, well, they want it. So I gave it to them, you know. But that's the way we are a lot of times. People get in need, and they'll say, how about sharing your life with me and your faith with me? And we're all dirty and not fit to do it. We're ashamed, isn't that right? I've had people say, come and pray Well, will you come and pray for us? And some of the brethren be standing around and they say, boy, I so feel fit to pray for him. Or maybe somebody standing there that backslid on God and they just shake their head like that. But see, let's be ready. Let's be ready. Let's be clean. Give me a clean heart, Lord. Give me a pure spirit. Let's have a heart like God's. Let's have a clean heart, pure heart. You say, why should I have a pure heart? Well, we could preach another sermon called The Pure in Heart Shall See God. You say, why should the pure in heart see God when the others should not see God? Because God is a spirit and faith works in a pure heart. Love, and it's a translation into the kingdom of God by faith. God is a spirit. I appreciate you tonight. I thank the Lord for you, and I appreciate you being courteous enough and concerned enough to listen. And I hope that my words, I know that the word of God doesn't return unto him void. He said it'll accomplish that I please and prosper in that when to have sent it. In the elect, it'll do it. But I hope that my words tonight, that you've listened to give the morning's heed and took heed how that you heard, that you might rearrange your life and arrange those things in your heart and mind in such a manner that they won't be lost and that they'll be beneficial to you tomorrow and every day. Use your faith. Use it. It's no good to have a car and not use it. No good to have a bank account and go hungry. So use your faith. Utilize it. Try to do something. Put forth an effort.